Hello there. This is Wale Olulanu, the presiding apostle of Harmony Christian Ministries. I'm happy that you can join us today in our podcast. I pray today's message will encourage, edify, and illuminate your heart, wherever your circumstances may be. Please relax and enjoy. Please turn in your Bibles with me to Isaiah 45. We're going to read 1 to 3. Isaiah 45, 1 to 3. The Bible says, "Thus says the Lord to his anointed." How many people are the anointed of the Lord in the house this morning? We know this is speaking about a man called Cyrus, but Cyrus also is a type that God is using as an answer to his generation. An interesting thing about this prophecy came like about 100 years before Cyrus was born. So he named him, mentioned him, gave him an assignment before he knew of his own existence. And many of us here need to understand that you are not here by mistake. You might have thought, well, I just stopped by. You might have thought that, well, you know, I'm just in that area. But God is saying that I knew you would be there when I created the problem before you came. And you are an answer to your generation, whether you are young or old. There's no one that is irrelevant in the plan of God. He said to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him and to loose armor of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. I go before you and make the crooked places straight. I break in pieces the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron. Verse 3. He said, I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, I am the God of Israel. Somebody shout a better amen there. This morning, I want to speak briefly, and I'm just going to open this topic, and there are two parts to it. I opened the topic, and some of you who are gurus of Bible studies and teachers of the word will take this on when you are ministering. So, but for this morning, we are talking on activating the anointing for deeper impact. Activating the anointing for deeper impact. Last week, we talk about the wind beneath my swing. And we left the golf course last week, finally knowing what was working in Joseph. We finally found out as we walked away from the golf course last Sunday, the secret behind the swings that Joseph really brought forward. We found out that whether Joseph was in the slave market, whether he was in Potiphar's house, whether he was in the prison or in the palace, we found out that it was because God was with him. That was what we found out last week. We found out that the reason why he was so special, why Joseph stood out amongst prisoners, among all kinds of slaves, was because God's mercy, God's favor was upon his life. But there was a question and a debate in our heart as we left the golf course last Sunday. We found out that why that told us the things about Joseph, it didn't tell us the whole story. Yes, there was the wind that was beneath his swing, but it didn't tell us a few things about Joseph. For example, we didn't find out from that wind, we didn't find out how that explains how Joseph was able to do certain things. How was he able to manage the resources in Potiphar's house? It was not the wind. How was Joseph able to manage human issues? How was he able to deal with staffing problems? He was in charge of all the staff. There were difficult staff. There were good ones. How was he able to deal with it? How was Joseph able to manage hardened criminals? He wasn't the wind. How was Joseph able to deal with the situation that he was confronted with? So we thank God for the wind, but there must be something else about Joseph which that encounter at the golf course did not tell us. Then Joseph was put into the king's palace and he was presented a problem, a dream, and interpreted the dream. But the wind didn't tell us. How was he able to present a 14-year fiscal project, a plan for the nation? Yes, he interpreted the dream, but how was he able to tell them what we need to do in economic terms? It was a simple meeting. He didn't have to go home and call for a brainstorming session. There was no boardroom, and right there on his feet, Joseph was able to tell the king what the nation needed to do for 14 years. Then, I started thinking that thank God for the wind, but there must be something else about Joseph that we needed to find out. I discovered that the wind is there. The wind had to work on something. Unless you do work out, your swings will be rusty. The wind is going to get it over there, but I had to understand, I had to do work out on my movement. The wind didn't move his body. The wind did not position him. The wind didn't tell him how to position his legs. The wind didn't tell him how to do other things. So he had to be work out of his own skills. I understand that Joseph had to do his own workout. He had to do some other things besides the wind. Are you still with me so far? You and I must work out together to make deeper impact this year. It is okay to pray and to fast, but that will not tell us the whole story. We now have to work. We have done some spiritual work, but there is the physical work that God expects of you and I. I know today is about activating the anointing for deeper impact. But before we zoom into that, it's important for us to talk about perfecting our swing. There is a need for Joseph to perfect his swing. There is a need for Joseph to know which of the golf clubs he's supposed to use for different moments. The wind won't tell him that. The wind will not tell you how to do your presentation in different meetings. The wind will not tell you how to approach different individuals. The wind will not tell you all the kind of moods that you wake up in the morning and say, because you are filled with the Holy Ghost, so you are just moody. The wind is not responsible for those things. And this is where many Christians get into trouble. We just say, the Lord will do it, the Lord will do it. But how will the Lord do it? The anointing will flow when I sing, but you need to work on your voice. Do you need to know, where am I going to minister? What kind of songs will I come up with? The wind doesn't do that for you. You need to do that. You need to understand how to pray without praying in a way you are familiar with in different settings. You need to understand how to tell the story of the gospel to the folks that works in a bank. Different from the way you will tell the story of the gospel to fishermen. You need to know how to say it in a way that does not box you in a particular way. That's why we need to activate the anointing for deeper impact. Are you still with me so far? That is the way you speak to politicians that you don't speak to church folks. I found out that there is nothing as frustrating and as wasteful in spiritual currency than a person with a perfect wind, a perfect window, but they have no swing or a clue of what to do. The wind is in your direction. The wind is favorable, but you don't have a clue of how to swing. There's nothing as frustrating as a chef that has a perfect kitchen, the right recipe, but does not know how to cook the menu for the day. Who do you blame for that? How do you explain a Joseph that has done all the work of interpreting the dream, but does not have a clue of what to do? Or a David that is presented before a Goliath, but does not know how to throw his sling? How do you get your shot across? That's not the wind. That's not what God is going to do for you. Folks, that's where you and I are supposed to perfect our arts before the moment. Even Jesus, now watch this. He had to walk on his own swing. Huh? Did you know that? Jesus, the Son of God, he that was God himself and man himself, he had to walk on his own swing.
At the age of 12, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was in the temple. For 3 days, he was locked up in serious, intense Bible studies, questioning Bible teachers and the law and the teachers of the law. The Bible said his parents had gone for 3 days. They were looking for him. And when they eventually found Jesus Christ, they were like, "Whoa! You got us worried." He said, "Why are you guys worried? I'm just doing Bible studies over here." And immediately when they left that place, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, he said, "And Jesus, he increased in wisdom." Somebody say amen. Amen. He increased in wisdom. But Christ has been made wisdom unto us. He increased in wisdom, increased in stature, and increased in favor with God and with man. But at an early age, he had to walk it out. Somebody say walk it out. It's in you already. But unless you walk it out, you don't really know the potential. You don't know the fullness of what you have. James 2 tells us something amazing. James 2, 18 to 23. It tells us, he said, "But someone will say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." Then jump to verse 20. He said, "But do you know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" Did you know that? You can't keep on saying, "Oh, it's faith." But faith without works is dead. He said, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar?" You say it's by faith. But didn't Abraham, our father, did he not have to prove himself by offering his son? And I love the way he put it in the end. He said, "Was not Abraham?" He said, "On the altar." He said, "Do you not see?" He said, "Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect." Works perfect faith. Perfecting my swing perfects the wind that blows beneath. Are you still so far with me? That's why it's not just about anointing. You can't just lay hands on an empty head. You cannot lay hands on a lazy head. You cannot lay hands on an idle hand. You can't say, "God will heal me," without doing nothing about it. You must understand that it is about works and faith. Joseph did not become all he became in Egypt only because the wind was blowing. He also had to develop the swing. He had to develop the swing and he had to perfect the swing above the average person. He had to perfect it above the average person. This is our challenge for deeper work, friends. Many years ago, you remember I said this in, I don't know how many times in church. When I had widow in my left thumb, the scar is still there. I think it was about 4 years in this country or so. Can't remember now. And we went to Newham Hospital. A&E waited a long time. Waited, I don't know, nearly 6 hours quite a long time. Because every doctor that was there, they said they had to wait for the consultant. And many people were waiting for this man. Finally, when he arrived, it was a Greek man. This consultant, when he showed up, almost about 10, 12 doctors were all around him. You think Prime Minister entered? And when he entered, he just put me in one little cubicle and he looked at my hand. And this guy was with me for about 6, 5, 7 minutes. I don't understand, I can't remember. But it left an impact in my life forever. It was a deep impact. Asked for my name. I told him. And then he said, "What do you do?" I said, "I was studying to finish my insurance qualification." He said, "Make sure you are 3 times as good as your Caucasian friend." "So you see me? See all these people?" He said, "Because I am 3 times as better." I said, "No, my Caucasian." He said, "Everywhere in this whole area, East London, they have to wait for me. Be 3 times as good
as your Caucasian brothers. He said, because you are coming from a deeper place. Unless you do that, you make no impact. Boom! He said, I'm gone. And then he left. He said, somebody else should finish up. He's done what he would do. What they were waiting for that nobody could do, he did it in 5-6 minutes. And he left. I left that place, went back to my study room. If I was feeling sleepy studying risk insurance or whatever I was studying, I said to sleep, go. I have to be 3 times as good. Happened at the time that nobody in my company then wanted to get qualified to do their chartered insurance exams. And I just realized whatever he said kept ringing in my ears. Years later, when God told me to start church, I said, I have to be 3 times as good above an average black church. I made up my mind that I wasn't just going to be average. Joseph didn't just interpret a dream. The king confessed it, that there is no one, he told his colleagues. He said there is no one that they can find the Spirit of God with wisdom and discerning like you in the old land. So friends, before you start saying something is racism or whatever, how good are you? How well have you worked your swing? And you are blaming the wind that is not blowing. You have to understand this. That there is a need for you. I don't say, oh, do I need to prove myself? Yes, you have to prove it. Do I need to prove it? Yeah, you have to prove it. We don't need your accent. Well, we need your wisdom. We need you to come to the table with stuff. That's when we can believe there is a God in you. Now, you see, but before I leave that subject, there are 4 angels that are at work in perfecting. In fact, let me first of all, the working out of my swing for long haul has 2 dimensions. There is a character and there is a skills. So it's a character and skills. If you're going to work it out, you need to understand that there's a character and skills. Now, these two actually manifested in the life of Joseph. Character and skills. Now, when the anointing blows on these two, there is no stopping us from deeper impact. That's why you see some folks, they got skills in the certain areas, but character defect is the issue. So before you know it, their value drops. There are 4 angels over these 2 dimensions. There are 4 angels. And it's in Proverbs chapter 2. 10 to 11. Proverbs chapter 2, 10 to 11. He said, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. Please note this. These 4 angels. Number 1, wisdom will enter into your heart. Say amen. The angel of wisdom. It's a dimension of God. He gives you wisdom above your fellows. Knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. In other words, there will be a desire in you to want to know how does this thing work. See, the average man just wants to use things. Doesn't want to know how it works. How does this church function? How does this device in my hand work? How does this team work? I don't just file away problems Sunday to Sunday. During the week, who solves the problem that we found out last Sunday? In my department, the issue that Jerry brought up in the team meeting, who is going to look into that solution? How does it work? Knowledge, friends, has to be pleasant to your soul. There must be a desire in you to want to know how does it work. That's why I'm always happy when I see the few people that celebrate creativity in this church. So knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. You know what? You need to study the people ahead of you. If you are the brightest in the class, you're in the wrong room. You must always have a desire. I need to challenge myself. Then I come to this group, bless them. I don't enjoy anybody thinking, oh, you are the best amongst us. If I'm the best amongst you, it's because I'm the least in another class. Do you understand what I'm saying? Discretion will preserve you. That's an angel. It will preserve you
discretion. Should I do this? It's part of, should I eat this kind of food? Is it good for where I'm going? Have you seen the footballers, when they stop playing, you say, is that the same John Bounds that you, sorry, I mentioned the name. I just mentioned a guy I liked, all right? A guy I liked. I don't know how John Bounds looks now. But is that the same footballer that used to be six-pack? What happened? It's because there was a time in their life that they would only eat for where they are going. Well, now they're not going anywhere. It's okay to be like everybody. Discretion will preserve you. These are the elements of walking out. And understanding will keep you. Understanding will keep you. You know, you can apply this for to your career right now where you are. Ask yourself, how much of these four elements am I putting to work? As I told you, this is not what I want to preach on. But I just give the syllabus for February right now. Because in February, some of your professors will step forward and I will just be learning. We are so blessed in this house. The anointing makes a difference. The anointing is not just for healing. The anointing is not just for commissioning. The anointing is not just for what some of us think it is. The anointing makes a difference between having a mere impact and having a deeper impact. The anointing makes a difference between being a local champion and being a national hero, and even an international one. So when the anointing of God comes upon our life for why we are walking it out, it has its capacity to lift us up. And I can tell you that because I am a beneficiary of that. The anointing makes all the difference in a man's life. Now, one of the reasons why we pray and fast, as we have just done, is so that the Lord can sharpen our spiritual senses. Amen. We've done that now, this past few weeks. Now, this is the time for us now to activate what is on the inside of us. This is the time for us now to lay demand on it. One of the things that we should know is that unless you provoke the anointing, it stays resident in you, but it does not manifest on the outside. It can stay quiet. You will not know it. The first thing the anointing responds to is hunger. Somebody say hunger. Now that doesn't mean fasting. Because some people can eat and they are still hungry. Hunger that I'm talking about is a desire to see it. The first thing in response to is hunger. That I desire, I long to see you. I long to be in your presence. I long to see your power. I need a miracle. Don't be ashamed to say it. There was a blind man that was sitting by the roadside and Jesus Christ was walking by and everybody was saying, keep quiet. He hasn't come for blind folks like you. The Bible said he shouted all the more. Why the people are telling him to keep quiet, he received his own miracle. The people tell him to keep quiet, he didn't receive anything. Isn't that interesting? The people are the armor bearers of Jesus Christ. In fact, these were not the armor bearers. They were just the helpers of his, whatever they call themselves. Do you know Peter, James, and John, all the rest of the apostles, they were with Jesus Christ for over 3 years. They did not know how to tap his anointing. They didn't know that by touching him, because they were always rubbing on him, it's different. You can rub on my body, sleep in my bed, carry me, take my jacket without anything touching you. He took a woman who was weak, a woman who was a nobody, a woman who the society didn't even count to come all the way from the back and said, if I can just touch the hem of his garments, I will be made whole. A woman. A weak woman. And then when she touched him, she just goes, ooh, I sense power. He left my body. And Peter said, come off it. Ooh. He said, somebody touched me. He said, somebody touched you. Are you okay? He felt his temperature. How can you say somebody touched you? Look at this crowd. Of course somebody touched you, mister. He said, no. I'm not talking about that. You can touch your speaker by still being on your seat. About 3 Sundays ago, a young man sat right there. Where, brother, you're sitting. And throughout the time I was preaching, I could sense the guy was just touching me. He sat right there. He was just pulling me. After the service, I said to him, man, there's something with you today. He said, yes, sir. There's a way you can touch with a hunger on your inside. You can touch with the eye of spirit. You can touch with faith. You can touch with a desire in you. And you can reject the same way. You can reject even still touching the person. So you see, hunger, the anointing responds to hunger. The Bible tells us in Psalm 92 verse 10, he said, but my horn you shall exalt like the wild hogs. I have been anointed with fresh oil. May you receive fresh oil today. I declare upon someone under the sound of my voice today, the oil of God will break free. It will break free. It will break free over your life. In the name of Jesus, God will release you from every form of stagnation. In the name of Jesus, yesterday we were praying about stagnation. I decree over your life, you are breaking free from stagnation. In the name of Jesus, stagnation in your mind, stagnation in your work, stagnation in your marriage, stagnation in your finances. Somebody is breaking free today. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive an uncommon oil, an uncommon blessing coming over you. I need a drummer. I need somebody on this instrument in the name of Jesus. Even Jesus Christ needed fresh oil. Did you know that the Bible said in Acts chapter 10 verse 38, he said how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with Holy Spirit. May you be anointed with the Holy Spirit today. Listen to me, may you be anointed with power today. Even if we use the oil or not, you must understand that the anointing is the Holy Ghost. May you be anointed with the Holy Ghost with power. He went about, the Bible says, he was doing good, healing all who were oppressed. May you become a grace, an anointing, a vessel for healing the oppressed in the name of Jesus. What about healing all who are oppressed of the devil? For God was with him. That's your Jesus. He needed the anointing. That's why the Bible said it came upon him bodily. Be seated for a minute. We're going to rise up in the next 1 minute. You must understand this. This is why God spoke in Isaiah 45. In Isaiah 45, 1-3, he released 7 activations. That's what I want to do in this service by the grace of God. 7 activations. He activated 7 grace for deeper impact. The first thing he said, thus say the Lord to his anointed. He said to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held. And as I begin to release these 7 activations in the name of Jesus, whichever one you desire, you rise up, you claim it, you go crazy with it. I decree in the name of Jesus, the right hand of God will uphold you this year. May the Lord uphold you. You will not fall. Your business will not collapse. Your marriage will not fall. In the name of Jesus, you will not fail. You will not falter. In the name of Jesus, I activate a grace to uphold you. Grace to uphold you. Uphold your children in the generation that is destroying, that is going. That I said, you will stand in the name of Jesus. Receive the spirit of discretion, the spirit of direction, the spirit of discipline and destiny in the name of Jesus. May the Lord lead you, may He guide you, may He take you to where He wants to lead you in the name of Jesus. The Bible said, this spirit came I came upon Cyrus to subdue nations before him. I speak over your life today. Receive grace for leadership. Grace for leadership. A captain of industry. When he says subdue nation, he's not talking about causing there to be, he's not causing about a political, what do you call it, when people take over a government, I forgot it right now. It's not about coup. To subdue nation means in your time, in your input, you will subdue the level that other people are. You will be known as the head. In the name of Jesus, in whatever industry you are, receive grace to be known. Receive grace to stand out. Receive grace to stand out. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible said in Jeremiah 51 verse 20, he said, you are my battle axe, the weapon of my warfare. I said, with you, I will break nation in pieces. I decree in the name of Jesus, receive the grace to break through, grace to break boundaries, grace to break limitations, grace to break barriers. In the name of Jesus, may God's grace bring down every enemy around you. Receive in the name of Jesus. I want someone to just turn this to prayer right now. Turn that to prayer. Because you are breaking limit this year. You are going forward. Come on, turn it to prayer. Turn it to prayer. Right now you are advancing. You are breaking through. There are certain people who have been sitting over you, over your level. You are rising higher. In the name of Jesus, you are subduing nations. You are subduing nations. Aha. I wish I had praying church. Come on, somebody. Aha, aha. Keep on going. Keep on going. In the name of Jesus. Hey. 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 Subdue nations. Subdue nations. Subdue nations. Go beyond your last level. Go beyond your last level. In the name of Jesus. He says in that scripture, he said, in the just said the Spirit of the Lord God Almighty, to loose the armor of kings. Ah! To loose the armor of kings. The Spirit of the Lord God is coming upon your life to loose armor. What does this mean? To loose loins. What does this mean? Number one, it takes a king to bind a king. And God is saying to you, you see, the kings, when they dress, they put on the armor. Because the armor is their defense. And God said that in the name of Jesus, he is activating in your life right now. Ability to break the defense of your enemy. You are breaking their defense. What they have used against you all these years, all this while, God said, I'm breaking it. You are getting the code. Ah, am I talking to somebody? In the name of Jesus Christ, he said, I'm breaking that defense. I am removing their armor in the name of Jesus. I'm taking away their defense. 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 I'm losing the armor for you. Listen to me, friends. Can you pull back the picture? I just saw a picture on the screen of an armor. Put that armor back. When you see a soldier with an armor and you are about to fight this kind of person, how do you fight? Where do you start from? You are already intimidated. And there are systems in every country that intimidates you. There are things, even in the spirit, that intimidates people. You know, sometimes some people say, well, I can't lead prayer because I'm afraid. I can't pray like brother so-and-so. No. You know, there are things that makes you afraid. Public speaking makes you afraid. Certain things God said, I am losing the armor of people who are scaring you. When the armor is removed, you do not know whether it's a woman inside here or it's a man. You don't know whether the person is scared or even because they are in the armor. There are things that have been scaring you. You are saying, I don't think we can break that threshold. When you are doing your calculations as a business, you are thinking, I can't go that far. But God said, I'm losing the armor. Are you following me now? Sometimes the armor is historical. Sometimes the armor is family. It's among the, amongst your what do you call it now? your lineage. You are thinking, oh, my father didn't go that far. Nobody in my family has ever been able to do that. So the armor is like, it's only for certain kind of people. You know, we cannot buy a house in that kind of area because we are not from that kind of place, because I'm losing the armor of kings. Are you listening to me right now? In the name of Jesus, receive the grace of God this year. The help of God this year. Armor of kings has been losing. In the name of Jesus. Sometimes this armor is entrenched in our mind. Because some of us just feel we're not entitled to a certain kind of level of blessing or enjoyment. Say, hey, look at the place they gave me. Me too. I never forget first time I traveled abroad, and a particular ministry put me in a very, very posh hotel. I didn't sleep more than the little corner I would sleep on my bed at home. My bed at home is very big. But you know, there is this thing in your head, you just know your corner. Except when you are playing football with your wife. But you see, I was in that hotel. The hotel has, it's a suite. There are parts of the suite I never touched. And I was doing video to my wife. I said, honey, look at what they gave me. They thought about five of us are coming. Meanwhile, they were expecting only me. When you say to yourself that, you know what, I don't think, this one is for some kind of level of bishop. But God has raised you this year. Are you listening to me now? Your company will be called for bigger presentations. You are rising to some kind of levels this year. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Some of you are going to make phone calls and say, Mama, Papa, come and see what the Lord has done. You are going to put phone calls home and tell your parents, come and see. That's what Joseph did. Go and tell my daddy of the glory of God in Egypt. Number four, quickly, we need to get here. God said, we're activating grace. He said, I will open unto you double doors. Double doors. You have to understand what's going on here. Double doors. Security gate open. This year, in the name of Jesus, may the Lord open unto you double doors. May your heavens be open in the name of Jesus. Your heavens be open in the name of Jesus. Let me explain this double doors to you, for somebody might not know. Because when Cyrus eventually came, there is a door into a city. Every city. That door leads to the river, Euphrates. It leads to their security that protects the city. Okay, you remember Joshua, when his folks were coming into town, they had to lock the gate. That's why they went over the wall. Do you remember that? The gate was locked. So there is a gate. There is a door. That's one. But there is another door into the king's palace. That even if the city falls, the fortress still stands. Do you get it? But on the day that Cyrus was coming, both doors were open. God will cause your enemy to have multiple error. You understand what I'm saying? Multiple error. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Double doors shall be open. Double doors shall be open. In the name of Jesus. They will forget themselves. Their security will be removed. Their ability to plan will be taken off. The Bible says, God will open unto you double doors. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus Christ was speaking. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. This year, may the anointing and the capacity to set free the poor, to set free the poor, may come upon you. Has it ever occurred to you that you can write off some people's debts? You can set free the poor. You know what? What a family may be going through that they consider heavy burden. That God, this is, I need a miracle. A miracle for somebody is what somebody else is doing on a daily basis. Somebody can call a 1,000 credit card issue a miracle. You probably will spend that in a day for buying a stool in your house or buying some stuff. But for someone, they've been dealing with that debt a long time. 2,000 has become 4,000, 5,000 in their neck. I'm trying to get you to understand that when God says he wants to place upon your life an anointing to set free somebody, don't reject it. Because while you have your own need, somebody else is seeing you as an answer. Joseph, this anointing came upon his life, and while he was in prison, he was interpreting dreams for somebody else. While though he still has a need, it does not mean you won't have your own need, but while you are ministering to other people, grace is working in your life. God said, I'm setting free double doors. It's called open heavens over your life. God said, number five, he said, I will go before you. We are activating this anointing for God going before us this year. He said, I will make crooked places straight. May the Lord go before you. Receive light over every darkness. Receive clarity and direction. Receive clarity and direction in the name of Jesus. Three women were going to the grave of Jesus Christ, and their concern was who will roll away the stone. But they didn't know God has gone before them. This year, every stone between you and your miracle be rolled away. Be rolled away. Be rolled away. Be rolled away in the name of Jesus Christ. God said, I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron asunder. Ah, may everything that seems like a battle become a stepping over, a stepping stone. You step upon it in the name of Jesus. God said, I'm the one who will break it. You cannot break, you can't break, you cannot break pieces of bronze or iron. God said, I will break it for you in Jesus' name. Every area of struggle in your life, may you receive power to go over it. And receive it in the name of Jesus. There are leaders amongst us wondering, how can I get my members committed? How can I get members of this team committed? How can I get them to own the vision? How can I get people in my staff to do this? Listen to me, God said, I have got the heart of kings in my hand. I decree in the name of Jesus a new day. A new day upon us as a church. A new day upon us as a people. A people who have a willing hand and a willing heart. They will say, men and brethren, what shall we do? In the name of Jesus. I pray this prayer for every parent in the house. Every parent in the house. May your children become willing in the day of your power. May you become responsive to the God that you serve. In the name of Jesus, may they not follow another God. May they not follow another God. In the name of Jesus. Last but not the least, God said, I will give you treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. This last point, I want to go and meditate on it powerfully. Everyone is important, but this last point is leading us to next month. I will give you treasures of darkness, hidden riches of secret places. Let me put it this way. The riches are there, but they are hidden. In every office, as I'm talking to you right now, the key to your solution is right there. It's not outside. Every couple, every marriage that is praying for some kind of breakthrough or solution, the answer is inside, it's not outside. The answer is what? It's inside. But you see, you can't see it because it's hidden. Many years ago, I told you this thing. I was in a conference in Dallas, and T.D. Jakes said to us, he said, somebody else can take your church where it is right now, with the same people that they are there right now, and make a mega church out of it. That day, I knew the problem was not the church members. The problem was not my wife. The problem was me. In the name of Jesus. everything that is good on the inside of you, every idea for your next level that's on the inside of you, that right now it seems concealed, it seems buried, it seems hidden, we activate it in the name of Jesus. We call it out in Jesus' name. We command it to come forward in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, receive life, receive light, receive understanding. Begin to decode it. Begin to see where you didn't see before. Begin to see possibilities where you did not see before. In the name of Jesus, I decree over your life, activating your faculty to think. I decree right now, I activate your ability to think, your faculty to think, your faculty to reason, your faculty to spot talent, your faculty to see where you didn't see before. Everyone in the house, particularly women, anointed women in this house, who know the ability to make something new out of old. In the same house, let's say you're praying for God to give you a new house, and God said, while I'm working on a new house, the one you have right now, I want to make it new for you. You can just look in that house. You can rearrange certain things. You can change certain things. You can remodify certain things. And you discover that you can have a brand new house even though you're in an old address, postcode. It's the same way that God can call there to be newness out of the old by God just opening your eyes to see. God showing you talent you always had but you didn't know. Or you thought I was just using this just for play. But God said you are going to have deeper impact this year. The Bible tells us in Psalm 118, 22 to 23, it said, the stone which the builders rejected has become chief cornerstone. Every talent in you that you have rejected, every gift in you that you have rejected, whether you are young in this house or you are old, everything that God gave to you that you have rejected, you have nullified, you have pushed aside, I decree in the name of Jesus, anointing to come upon it right now. To begin to make it to shine in the name of Jesus. He said this was the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in the eyes. Receive grace for marvelous. Marvelous anointing. Marvelous testimony. Marvelous testimonies. I love the young ones who are receiving it. Young people are beginning to receive. Receive the anointing in the name of Jesus. He said this is the Lord's doing. People will begin to see you from now. They say, well, this is marvelous. This pregnancy is marvelous. This house is marvelous. This job is marvelous. Your commitment to God is marvelous. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous.
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. We do hope you have been blessed. Our special thanks go to all our partners who give generously to support our ministry. You are welcome to be one of us. If you'd like someone to talk to you on any of the issues raised in today's message, please do call us on +44 208 597 1110. Or you visit our website on www.hccenter.org.uk. May the peace of the Lord guard you and keep you till we meet again.